or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Shortly, I'm going to be introducing a couple of representatives of an organization entitled the Most Holy Family Monastery. What is this organization? What does it believe ideologically? Where does it fit on the Catholic spectrum? What do its representatives believe about the New Testament discussion of the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees and how that relates to certain modern political and cultural realities and struggles? These are just a few of the things that we're going to be chatting about with these folks this morning. I've been mentioning a series of news articles in the first hour of the show that I think are must reading. I had talked about Behzad Yagmayan's piece for Tom Engelhardt entitled "Will American Bombs Kill My Iranian Dream?" Scott Horton's piece at Harper's today entitled "Torture Secrecy in the Bush Administration" is well worth looking at. That is the lead story today at antiwar.com. The LA Times tells us today that divided Iraq has two spy agencies. On this tax day, Murray Rothbard, the late Murray Rothbard's piece for lewrockwell.com entitled "Can There Be a Just Tax" is well worth your time, as well as Mike Whitney's post of recent days entitled "Doomsday for the Greenback." Dr. Michael Chosadovsky tells us today at globalresearch.ca that the Iran war theater has a northern front, and that northern front is Azerbaijan, and Azerbaijan in turn relates to the U.S.-sponsored war on Iran. That's Dr. Michael Chosadovsky today at globalresearch.ca. And we've been taking a look at Bill Berkowitz's piece entitled "Moon Waning in Washington." This is at Global Research, and it's an absolutely important bit of information to see the way in which the various links in the globalist structure hold together some real front men. And I would suggest that the Bush 41 and Bush 43 are a part of this. Neil Bush is a part of it. And certainly some of these so-called religious right figures that show up at these moon-sponsored events presumably are front men. What kind of Protestant evangelicals and Orthodox Roman Catholics would appear at a venue that was sponsored by a man who claimed and who does claim that he is in some sense the Son of God, and who very clearly believes in some form of world political and economic structure that relates to this whole business of the creation of a world globalist community? What's going on here? I think Bill Berkowitz shows us today that there's a lot that's going on there that we need to keep our eyes on. Business Week, by the way, getting back into the Berkowitz piece, has reported in its October 16th, 2006 post entitled "No Bush Left Behind" that Neil Bush's Ignite Incorporated, featuring what the company calls its, quote, "curriculum on wheels," unquote, or cows, received $1 million from a foundation linked to the controversial Reverend Sung Myung Moon for a cows research project in Washington, D.C. area schools. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Before I introduce the guests, I just wanted to make one more reference to that piece today from Bill Berkowitz at globalresearch.ca. It's entitled Moon Waning in Washington, Reverend Moon and the Bush Family. And if we have any doubts as to what the various linkages may be in regard to world government and globalism, and one world heresies, I think that what Bill has posted there today is absolutely ominous in its implications, and we will continue to follow that story in the days ahead. We are joined today by two very, very interesting people, Brother Michael Diamond and Brother Peter Diamond. They have a website entitled www.mostholyfamilymonastery.com. They represent Most Holy Family Monastery in Fillmore, New York. They're going to join us today to talk about all kinds of political and cultural and theological issues that I think are of importance today. And one of our RBN listeners had recommended that I contact these gentlemen. And so we're going to have a conversation of right around 2 hours, kicking around some ideas and seeing where things go. How are you, gentlemen?
Okay.
Listen, in regard to there are so many things that you have posted at your website, which again is www.mostholyfamilymonastery.com, but it's a little bit difficult to know where to begin. But maybe we ought to start with this. What, your mutual estimation, happened to the Roman Catholic Church at the time of Vatican II, and who and what do you think was behind it?
Well, ultimately, the devil was behind all of it, and it was carried out, this plan to destroy the Catholic Church, by human beings, obviously, that were guided and possessed by the devil. And they have been almost completely successful in destroying the church, not entirely, through infiltration, through getting their own men into positions of what people think are power and authority in the Catholic Church, and making numerous changes to doctrine, to the sacraments, to pretty much almost everything, and actually creating a counterfeit church, which we actually believe is the Whore of Babylon predicted in the Apocalypse. So it's really a new church. Someone can line up what they've taught since the Second Vatican Council with what popes have solemnly taught previous to that council, and they can see that they're really two different religions.
And that's something that our new book, The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, actually covers in tremendous detail. It's over 600 pages. It has over 200 color photographs, and it's broken down into 46 sections. And
over 1,700 references. Really, actually, there is no book that has actually comprehensively dealt with the changes and everything that's happened in the Catholic Church roughly over the last 50 years like this book. There is really nothing like this book that has come out, and it's based upon research of probably over 10 years. So,
and what we want to stress is that Christ did say in founding the church upon St. Peter in Matthew 16 that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and the gates of hell have not prevailed against it because the church does exist, even if it has been reduced to a small remnant. But the point is that the crisis we're now dealing with was predicted in Catholic prophecy and sacred scripture. Jesus Christ says in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find any faith on earth? He talks about how the abomination of desolation will be seen in the holy place in Matthew 24:15. St. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about how the man of sin will be seen in the temple of God. And so all of what we're dealing with now is predicted to transpire at the end as the primary deception to deceive the true faithful.
And I think one other thing that your audience would find interesting is that actually even at different Marian apparitions, such as at La Salette, France, which most people probably have never heard of, fully approved Catholic apparition of Our Lady to two little children on September 19, 1846, the message was this, quote, Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist. The church will be in eclipse, seemingly blocked out, that Rome will lose the faith, not the Catholic Church, but the city of Rome will fall away from the traditional Catholic faith, and it will be allowed by God as the supreme punishment for the sins of the world for the buildings to be taken over and really usurped by his enemies as the church goes through its passion, as our Lord allowed his own body to be placed in the hands of his enemies to be crucified and mistreated, that he will allow the enemies of his church to seemingly rise to positions of what seem to be, to many people, power and authority in the church, which will actually not have any authority because they're not part of the church, they don't have the Catholic faith, and then will try to destroy all the traditional teachings of the faith. And it's also predicted at Our Lady's apparitions in Fatima, Portugal. It's actually what the third secret, the third part of the secret that was given at Fatima exactly predicts. It predicts a massive apostasy from the true faith, from the Catholic faith, that will start seemingly from the person or persons who will claim to be the leadership, the very head of the Catholic Church, or a series of actually anti-popes who will be claiming to be popes, who will actually set forth this destruction of all the traditional teachings of the Catholic Church, and that's what we've seen over the reigns of these last five antipopes that we've been dealing with, from John the 23rd to now Benedict the 16th.
Well, this is very interesting to me, and I know that as one who is not a Roman Catholic, I'm an evangelical Lutheran, but some years ago, matter of fact, it's about 15, 16 years ago, I deliberately, as a visitor, went to a traditionalist Catholic church in San Antonio because I just wanted to observe the Latin Mass. I had never seen it before live, so to speak. And so I sat in the back of this church and just observed. And as one who does not come out of the Roman Catholic tradition, I could understand in a most palpable, powerful way that there had been a revolution that had taken place in the Roman Catholic Church, because I had visited some of these liberal ecumenically oriented Catholic churches with friends of mine who wanted me to analyze what I thought was going on there. And when I saw the Latin Rite and saw the traditionalist Catholic movement here in San Antonio, I thought, boy, there's something that's happened here that's a lot bigger politically and historically and theologically and culturally than I certainly understand. Here all these years later, I'm reading a series of things, including your website, which begin to fill in at least a few blanks for me. Let me ask you a controversial question, but I know that you guys deal with controversy and deal with it honestly. I've in Michael Collins Piper's book, The Judas Goats, The Enemy Within, this is an American Free Press publication. In chapter 19 of that book, he talks about the Vatican's own enemy within, Buckley associate Malachi Martin's secret role as a subversive acting on behalf of Zionist interests. To what extent do you guys believe the Zionists and the Jews are connected to what has happened in the Catholic Church?
Well, I think that it's obvious that they're really applying pressure upon, you know, these people who are claiming to be the leadership of the Catholic Church to rapidly change everything so that there's no longer a call for conversion, for example, for Jews to convert to Catholicism. And we can see that in 2001, for example, in the United States. The United States Conference of So-Called Catholic Bishops posted on their official website that, quote, campaigns that target Jews for conversion to Christianity are no longer theologically acceptable in the Catholic Church. That was posted on the official website of the bishops, the so-called bishops of the United States of America, that are claiming to be the Catholic bishops of the United States of America. I mean, this is so foreign to, obviously, the gospel and to Catholicism. It is truly a new religion, and they later pulled it down. We have a copy of it, though, while it was still up, because people started to phone in and say, well, this doesn't seem right. I mean, this is going a little bit too far, and they finally pulled it down. But these are the kinds of people that you're dealing with, and it's obvious that they want to apply this pressure to the Vatican and other people so that there is no call to conversion, for example, and that actually has pretty much almost happened. And when you look at John Paul II's relationship, for example, with different Jewish people, for example, Gilbert Levine, who is the head of the orchestra out in Pittsburgh, he developed a relationship with John Paul II. He didn't practice anything. He didn't practice Judaism, actually, the religion. But when he started to meet and talk and become friendly with John Paul II, he started to become more involved in what he thought was his Jewish religion, to the extent that actually he became, as he calls himself, a deep believer, you know, in his religion. And it ended up with him telling his story of his relationship with John Paul II on CNN Larry King Live, where he admitted that John Paul II actually gave him a menorah. And that John Paul II sent his children letters of congratulations on the days that they had their bar mitzvahs. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. I mean, and then you have obviously going back to John Paul II, on April 13th, 1986, he went into the synagogue in Rome, and he actually bowed his head as the Jews said a prayer for the coming of, you know, they say their Messiah. So just an incredible act of apostasy, saying that the old covenant is still in force, that was never revoked by God. Those were words by John Paul II on November 17th, 1980 in West Germany. So this is a totally new religion. You have Benedict XVI, for example, saying that we don't have to see Christ as the Messiah. All these kinds of statements, which are just really amazing.
We'll be back with brothers Michael and Peter Diamond of the Most Holy Family Monastery when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222. We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by brothers Michael and Peter Diamond of the Most Holy Family Monastery in Fillmore, New York. You can find the website at www.mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's www.mostholyfamilymonastery.com. Gentlemen, as I was perusing the your website during the commercial break, and of course I've been looking at it for the last few days, there are a couple things I guess I wanted to emphasize just for the context and for listeners who are just picking up on the conversation. You basically see the center of this heresy as one that involves, first of all, a new universalism. In other words, that these individuals that we are speaking of in this Vatican II and post-Vatican II movement that we've been talking about has basically denied the efficacy of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ
to the exclusion of anything else that always characterized Catholic teaching before. And if I'm understanding, if that's a fair characterization, that you believe that that has a prophetic or eschatological context in regard to the dark developments of the end times in, say, the Olivet Discourse, as well as in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is that correct?
Well, not exactly with regard to what the church teaches. The church teaches that the church itself is necessary for salvation, and this is rooted, of course, in the foundation of the church upon St. Peter, and we can see that in Matthew 18:17, where he says, "He who refuses to hear the church, let him be to thee as the heathen and the publican." And so a dogma that has been defined many times by the church and held throughout history by all the popes is called outside the Catholic Church, there is no salvation. And that dogma has been totally denied, and the denial of that dogma is the root of this whole apostasy we're seeing with Vatican II. And once that was denied, all of the religious indifferentism that we're seeing today has flowed.
Yes, and you know, as one who does not come out of the Roman Catholic tradition, as I try to wrestle with this a little bit, it seems to me that in Vatican II, you had a situation where the traditional Catholic understanding and definition of papal infallibility was potentially modified. Is that a correct perception?
Well, one of the heresies of Vatican II didn't directly deal with papal infallibility, but what it did deny, and the post-Vatican II anti-popes, is the necessity for people to accept the dogma of the papacy. The church has always held, and Vatican I defined, that it's necessary to accept in order to be part of Christ's church, the institution that he set up upon St. Peter, making him the head of the apostolic church, and the bishops of Rome who succeeded St. Peter were the heads of the church who held the same primacy in the church that St. Peter himself held in the apostolic church. And so whereas traditionally the church always taught that it's necessary for those outside the church, Protestants, Eastern Orthodox, as they're called, to convert, to be part of the Christian church, they must accept the papacy and the fullness of the Catholic faith, the Vatican II church and the post-Vatican II anti-popes teach that it's not necessary at all.
I see. And that's a good clarification for me. We have a caller on the line for you guys. Michael in New York, you're on the line for Peter and Michael Diamond. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, my name is Michael. I have a legitimate license to run a New York State business. I have dealt with the Diamond Brothers, let me say, since last July. I've been sending them money. I'm no longer doing that, of course. The Diamond Brothers are not Benedictine monks. It has been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that they're not.
No, that's not true.
The St. Vincent Archbery, who declared that they were not.
The Novus Ordo Church.
That's not
the real
See,
church.
This is what I mean. Joseph Natalie spent a short time at St. Vincent before being dismissed. He never had permission.
That's not his name. It's not Natalie. So you don't even know his
Natale,
name.
Natale, it's pronounced Natale, excuse me.
Yeah, that's
yes,
better,
I do
yeah.
know. Yes, I do know. Michael, do not interrupt me, because you have no approbation to do what you're doing. Archbishop Bennett.
So you accept the post-Vatican II Church?
I do not accept the post-Vatican II Church. But you have no business. You are just like a lot of other people. You have no business calling yourself a Benedictine. You are not a Benedictine monk. You are Michael Diamond.
No.
You have no apostolic succession to run your order.
Even if you think that, Michael, that has
I know that. It's not that I think it. I know it. Because you have no approval. You guys have no approval.
Who has approval, Michael?
You have to be apostolically approved and be under a real bishop.
Who's the name of a real bishop, Michael?
There are several real bishops.
Name one.
Why should I have to answer your question?
Because you're the one that's making the case that you have to be under a real bishop.
I'm not making a case. I am obeying what I have
proved that you're a
hypocrite. I am obeying what I have always been taught.
No, but you're saying that saying someone has to be under a bishop.
You
therefore, that presupposes that there is a
Joseph
bishop.
Joseph Natalie spent a short time at St. Vincent's before he was
like
dismissed.
Like all dishonest people, he won't answer the question.
No, I will answer your question. I'm not being dishonest. Don't accuse me of being dishonest.
You can't even name one bishop.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson Music Shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guests today are Brother Michael Diamond and Brother Peter Diamond of Most Holy Family Monastery in Fillmore, New York. You can find that website at www.mostholyfamilymonastery.com. When you get to that site, you will discover that they have a new 658-page book there entitled The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II. It has approximately 200 color photographs and more than 1,700 references and is now available for order at their online store, which you can find again at www.mostholyfamilymonastery.com. As we continue this conversation, and before I take another caller, I wanted to ask both of you, and I admit that I did not have a chance to read this particular link, but I noticed that you have something on your webpage about the Society of St. Pius X. which is, I understand this as a non-Roman Catholic, was Archbishop Lefebvre's order that broke away from the mainstream Roman Catholic Church after Vatican II. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. He was someone that actually saw many of the changes occur, obviously, and didn't think much of them, and saw that they were destructive to the faith and the changes to the Mass and the rest of the sacraments, and obviously changing other teachings. And he tried to, in his own mind, resist these changes by not accepting the new Mass, not accepting the new sacraments, not accepting some of these new teachings that were flowing out of the Second Vatican Council. And this kept on going to a point where he actually started his own seminaries and started to ordain priests and consecrate bishops, and he was suspended, and then he was finally excommunicated by John Paul II in early July of 1988, a matter of hours after he did some consecrations of four bishops without permission of the Vatican. And the Vatican obviously is very concerned that, you know, someone outside their you know, system would be, you know, ordaining priests, consecrating bishops, and would form in their eyes a sort of parallel church. And Lefebvre saw this as being necessary to preserve the traditional faith in his mind and the traditional sacraments. So he was someone that he didn't come to every obviously correct conclusion on a lot of issues, but saw some problems, and in his own mind he thought that, you know, this was the way to resist them. So
would your take on him and on this Society of St. Pius X be basically positive, or would it be a mixed review?
Well, I think that there are some good qualities in their group, in the sense that they do some good things, namely, you know, they are making available to some people who don't know anything about Catholicism some aspects of the traditional faith and the Mass. But there's some other problems, obviously.
And yes, the problem surrounds their major conclusion on the validity of the men who have imposed this new Vatican II religion. And see, while Lefebvre resisted the changes and so forth, he still held that Paul VI, John Paul II, John Paul I, and John the 23rd, Benedict the 16th was not yet reigning, obviously, were legitimate popes. He thought that they were very bad, and even tossed around the idea that they might have lost their offices due to public heresy.
Yes.
But the position that the whole Society of St. Pius X embraced and continues to embrace is that these men are the true popes of the Catholic Church. And as we prove in our book and in our material, theologically that's not acceptable when you examine what the Catholic Church teaches about heresy and how heresy expels one from the Church, and how a heretic cannot actually legitimately reign as a pope. And because they accept these guys as valid popes but bad popes, it leads them into all kinds of untenable positions with regard to having to reject the official actions coming from someone they deem to be a true pope. Whereas we point out, without any inconsistency, and many others, that the actions that they hand down have no authority, because they actually have no authority themselves. They're actually anti-popes. And there have been many anti-popes in church history with whom the church has had to deal.
And then that's something the church has taught, that if someone becomes a manifest heretic, a public heretic, he would place himself automatically, ipso facto, by that very fact, outside the church. And so that he can claim to be a bishop or a cardinal, he can claim to sit in a position of, quote, authority and power as, say, the Bishop of Rochester or Buffalo, but if he can be shown to have manifestly denied certain defined teachings of the Catholic faith, he actually has no authority. This is something that the Church has taught, and the Church has also taught that in the case of a pope, for example, who would become a public heretic, he would automatically lose his office and be an anti-pope and have no legitimate authority. And so the problem with their conclusion is, when they're seeing all these heresies that are being promoted by these anti-popes, their conclusion is, well, yeah, it's bad, they don't like it, but he's still a Catholic. Because if they believe he's a pope, which they do, that very position, you have to take the position that he's a Catholic. If you're going to take the position that he's a pope, you're saying that he's a Catholic. And how can you say he's a Catholic when he's denying basically everything and all the teachings
almost every teaching of the Catholic faith.
Very, very interesting. This helps to clarify for me what the differences are. Very, very helpful commentary. Bob in Texas, you're on the line for Peter and Michael Diamond. Go ahead, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi. Hi.
You know, I'd like to preface my question with a brief statement that I was raised Catholic, was an altar boy, and prior to Vatican II, did the Latin Mass and all of that. But my question is, would I be correct if I were assuming that you guys were in agreement with the Church prior to Vatican II and the rituals and traditions of the Catholic Church and the popes?
Yes.
That you would support that as being the true faith?
Yes, we hold what Catholics throughout history have always held, what all the popes from St. Peter up to Vatican II held and taught. And so the Catholic faith that we promote is the Catholic faith of all times.
How do you justify the bloodthirstiness of the papacy throughout history and the secular position that the Pope claimed, not only infallibility, but actually as the world ruler, and his position over the European nations?
Well, I would say this, first of all, that the so-called bloodthirstiness of the papacy has been greatly exaggerated and distorted by non-Catholic historians who have an axe to grind against the Church.
And well, let me just say this.
That the popes held a necessary position of civil authority in European history and at times was very necessary in safeguarding the faith and so forth.
Okay, having been raised Catholic and never having had
Let me ask you, what religion are you?
I'm a believer in Scripture.
Okay, well,
without a denomination, because I find so many of the teachings of the Catholic Church and some of the ritualistic, traditional stuff that they've added, like don't eat meat on Friday. Oh, well, we changed that at Vatican II. Well, you know, if God didn't say it,
Let me ask you this.
Why should we believe it?
Let me ask you this. Well, by what authority do you consider the books of the Bible, which you regard as inspired, to be authentic, considering the fact that there was much dispute about exactly which books were inspired, and there were many other Gospels floated around in the first few hundred years of the Church?
Well, to be honest with you,
the authority of the Catholic Church, which determined which books constitute the canon of the Sacred Scripture.
Well, the convention that was held in 325 A.D. by Constantine selected 66 books, which I don't think God would have had. He had to pick a number. I would have been 77, maybe. But
no, that's not the Catholic canon. The Catholic Bible has 73 books. The Protestant canon has 66.
Right. I agree. I agree. I'm saying, you know, actually, I would say that the Protestant churches are subsidiaries of the Catholic Church in actuality, even though they claim a variety of little differences. But the point I would like for it, you know, to make is that I didn't have any kind of ill effect from the Catholic Church. I had no problems with the Catholic Church. I went to a public high school after I failed to get a scholarship to a Jesuit high school or a pre-college school, and I always had a problem, even from the time I was 12 years old, when the Catholic Church says, well, if you're not Catholic, you're going to hell. And I would go to other people's churches, and their church would be very similar. And I would think, well, why do those people have to go to hell? And the Catholics are all, regardless of their history or what they've actually done, they're all going to heaven. That was one thing.
Well, that's actually not what Catholics believe. Actually, the Church actually has taught, many saints have taught, that actually most Catholics will lose their souls. That's something, so it's something the Church has taught, that it is necessary to embrace the one Catholic or universal Christian faith, which is absolutely true. But it also teaches that most people who have claimed to be Catholic have, most of them probably will be lost, as our Lord says about most of humanity in Matthew 7:13, that broad is the way that leadeth to hell, and many there are that go that way, and straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth to heaven, and how few there are who find it. Yeah. So when you say that, you know, few will be saved or most people are going to hell, that's what Jesus says in Matthew 7:13.
Well, you know, I went to a public high school, after failing to get a scholarship to the Jesuit school. And I had to go, I was told I needed to go to instruction classes once a week, and I voluntarily went for a year. And at the end of that year, a certain amount of people had dropped out of them. I hadn't, and I was more than happy to go. But a priest came in, Father Ripperger, and said, if you don't come to these classes, it's a mortal sin. That was the last class I went to, because continuously throughout history, the Catholic Church and its priests have always put their own laws out there and make a lot of non-scriptural projections onto the people that are trying to find a spiritual avenue.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the papacy is scriptural?
No.
Even though it's very obvious in Matthew 16 where he founds the church upon St. Peter.
I think that is a total lie, and I think that you have to be an ignoramus, actually, to believe that when Christ and Peter were talking, and Christ asked Peter, who do they say that I am? And Peter said, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Isaiah, whatever. And then Jesus, and then he finally said, but I think that you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Not on Peter, who was an impulsive
But your Bible even says, you would have to admit that your Bible even says that he gives the keys of the kingdom of heaven to Peter. You admit
that's why
that?
In John 21, he says to St. Peter alone, feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That's why every time the apostles' names are listed, St. Peter's name is always first, and Judas's name is always last. That's why he's mentioned 129 times in the New Testament, next closest apostle, something like 29.
How would you justify the slaughter of Christians from the time of Christ's death until 325 A.D. when the Constantine basically awards the papacy its authority? How do you justify that?
I would say you've got a number of convoluted and false ideas going on. Constantine did not award the papacy its authority. If you study the early church fathers, you can see that meant all of them, okay, who addressed the issue, regarded St. Peter as being the rock upon which Christ founded the church. They acknowledged Rome as having the supreme authority among the churches. And so this is something that preceded Constantine. You can see that. And the scriptural evidence, I mean, there's so many passages in Scripture where you can see language that would never be used unless it were totally obvious that St. Peter held a primacy. For instance, it talks about, and Peter and the 11, and Peter and the rest.
But you would also...
That kind of language... Yeah. Would never be used unless St. Peter held the primacy among the apostles.
But right after the verse you were speaking about earlier, you mentioned that you admit that the keys of the kingdom of heaven are given to Peter. You would admit that, right?
No, I didn't say that. I don't
but
think
I mean,
that...
That's right in the Bible that you're quoting. Just look a few verses after that.
Well, so regardless
you,
of
well,
whether...
See, that's something you would have to admit.
Yeah, that would be not honest.
Well, that would be lending credence to the Pope as the vicar of Christ, being Christ on earth, and allowing a man. What about the scripture that says, "Let God be true and all men liars"? Even the best of us, even the best men on the earth, are liars because they don't really know the whole truth. You know, I wanted to ask
you
another question.
You don't believe that Christ founded a church, right?
Excuse me?
You don't believe that Jesus Christ founded a church?
No, I do believe that.
You
I believe
okay.
it, but I don't believe
where
the church is in a
church?
Building or in a Vatican or in a building made of stones.
Why would he say, hear the church, and he who does not hear the church is as the heathen?
Well, I believe that the church is the body of people that make up the body of Christ.
No, but it's obviously a visible institution which you must hear and which can render judgments. Otherwise, he would never command you to hear it under pain of being considered as the heathen and publican.
Are you aware of Paul's letters wherein he addresses certain personages such as Priscilla and Rufus Pudens and the saints at Rome that were actually Herodotus' daughter who married Rufus Pudens? And these people were taken out of Europe and brought there as prisoners. And Rufus Pudens had been fighting the Caesar of that time, and it was in 41 A.D.
Well, let me ask you a question, since you didn't answer that last question we asked to you. Do you accept, for example, confession in John 20:23? Jesus says to the apostles, "Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you shall not forgive, they are not forgiven."
Well,
do you believe that Christ gave power to certain men?
No.
Okay, well then, that's a clear denial of that scripture.
I do not believe that.
You believe in faith alone, just
that
by
men.
Alone.
I think that we are to have a direct relationship, and it's personal. And I believe that the church has imposed itself upon people. You know, I was raised Catholic. I went through 8 years of Catholic grade school, elementary school. And I found it to be the imposition of guilt. You know, walking into a church every morning and seeing a guy hanging on the cross that they keep telling me has risen and is alive is pure hypocrisy.
Then how come Christ left his image of a crucified man on the Shroud of Turin?
That hasn't been proven, even though I do believe it.
Now, the evidence is just overwhelming.
Well, I believe that that is true. I believe that...
Okay, well, that refutes exactly what you just said, because you said that God would never want us to be looking at this image of a crucified man when he miraculously preserved the image of his crucified body in incredible detail so that scientists down to our age could investigate it with the most modern means and couldn't explain it away.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find the Most Holy Family Monastery website at www.mostholyfamilymonastery.com. We'll be back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I wanted to alert our guests and also the callers to the fact that historically the next 10 minutes or so are a time of very frequent commercial interruption, and then there will be a time for a longer period of conversation again. It's at this time that I ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network, which you can do by contacting us at www.republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org, or give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. And through the Republic Broadcasting Network, of course, you can have a copy of Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That can be yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. And I've also been asked to announce that there will be a trucker's truck-out boycott in all 48 continental U.S. states. The individual state legislature capitol buildings will be circled and shut down bumper to bumper, three trucks wide, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th, starting at noon. Listeners can go to the Republic Broadcasting website at republicbroadcasting.org for more information on this. Again, that's the truckers' truck-out boycott. All 48 to continental U.S. state legislature capitol buildings will be circled and shut down bumper to bumper, three trucks wide, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th, starting at noon. That will be a very, very interesting development to watch that as it unfolds. We have another caller, Rita in Texas. You're on the line for Peter and Michael Diamond. Go ahead, Rita.
Good morning. Brother Diamonds, I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with Father John Martinez?
A little bit, yeah.
I would like to encourage you to personally get in touch with him. His contact address is on the Internet on Republic Broadcasting Network, because I had a discussion with him with regards to, you know, you brothers and also your website. One of the things that has not been brought out with regards to the Society of St. Pius X, and Father Martinez brings this out very clearly in several publications of the Catholic, and that is that Lefebvre was ordained and or consecrated by a Freemason.
Okay. Well, the answer to that is that Pope Leo XIII teaches that if a minister, a bishop or priest, in conferring or confecting a sacrament, uses the form of words that the Church prescribes for a sacrament, he is for that very reason presumed to have the intention of doing what the Church does. So in the case of Lefebvre's ordination and consecration, the people that were involved with that did use the traditional rite that the Catholic Church teaches is to be used. So therefore, by that very fact of them using the correct form of words, the Church would consider that ordination or consecration to be valid. And if someone says, well, no, because I think that this guy was a Freemason that ordained Lefebvre, well, there was a bishop named Talleyrand, and during the French Revolution, he was an open Freemason. He was involved with the French Revolution. He was consecrated a bishop, and the Church never said his orders were not received validly.
I'd like to be able to address that after the commercial.
We'll keep you on, Rita. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with brothers Peter and Michael Diamond, the Most Holy Family Monastery. Stay tuned.
With recent